Every breath is a giveaway dance between you and the plants. Susan Weed.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hi, it's Samantha Lee Wright. Thanks so much for tuning into our show, especially now during this crazy global pandemic that is affecting all of us. And hopefully what you're feeling is that not only is this a crazy time that is hard for everyone, but it's also a time for us to band together, reach out to each other, and get through this together, because I believe we are stronger together. And this experience that we are all feeling and experiencing at the same time, I believe, is going to create a lot of transformation on the other side of this. So I just want to acknowledge all the hardships that everyone's going through right now and send you warm wishes and love right here through this podcast. I've decided to carry on the show with our regular production schedule. So far, we've been able to do that. Today's episode, I think a lot of you might be really interested in, and especially if you're looking for a home project, something to do and keep you busy with during this time where we're all slowing down and focusing more on what we're doing in our homes on a day-to-day basis. And that is the subject of how to distill your own essential oils. So today we're going to have a lot of fun talking about this subject. A few things I want to just clarify and get off the bat. I, you know, am in love with the brand of my choice, Young Living Essential Oils. I trust their distilling process and their testing process. They do things to an expert level that I would never, ever be able to replicate at home. So for those out there going, oh my gosh, Sam, stop telling people to distill their own oils. They're going to, you know, burn it too high of a temperature or not get the right levels of therapeutic molecules and all that things. You know what? I choose to buy my oils from a brand that I trust, but I think it's so cool if people want to go and explore how they could possibly distill their own essential oils. I just think that's really cool. Another little caveat, we had some technical difficulties and the wrong microphone was picked up during this interview. So the sound quality on my end is not as good as I usually like to give you guys. So if you hear a little bit of scratching, that's because my headphones are being picked up instead of my mic. And there was a little bit of rubbing against my clothes. So I apologize for that. Well, without further ado, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout and then get to the show. Today's DIY dugout recipe comes from Trish Rogers, and it's called Free the Knees. To make the Free the Knees recipe, in a 10 milliliter roller bottle, add 5 drops wintergreen, 5 drops peppermint, 5 drops German chamomile, 5 drops heliochrysum, 3 drops lemongrass, and 3 drops frankincense essential oil. Let these mix for a minute or two, and then fill the rest with coconut oil. You can massage it on your knees 3 to 4 times a day. Thank you so much, Trish, for your recipe. Congratulations to our March DIY Dugout Contest winner, Susan Brandenburg. Each month, we do a giveaway here on the show where we give away a free bottle of orange essential oil, as well as our coveted ebook full of essential oil DIY recipes. So congratulations, Susan Brandenburg, for winning this month's giveaway. You can enter into our giveaway simply by emailing us your favorite original DIY recipe that uses essential oils. Email us at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Well, I'm here with Helga Schmickel, graduated in chemical engineering at the Vienna Technical University in Austria. He writes books and teaches courses on distilling and fermenting on a small scale, hosting hands-on courses and online seminars, as well as developing small devices that produce an outstanding yield and quality of essential oils and concentrated hydrosols. I'm so excited to have him here on the show with us to talk about two subjects that I get asked a lot about, which is how do I make my own essential oils and how do I make hydrosols, use hydrosols? What are they? How are they different? All of that. So we'll be getting into all of that with how are you?
Thank you. Very fine. At the moment, we are not infected by corona, but we have the government restrictions, of course. But for us in person, it is no problem.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're recording this on March 17th, 2020, although this probably won't get released till a couple weeks from now. So we'll see how things might be different in a couple weeks or the same. But yes, we're on full lockdown here. And actually, my small town here in Boone, North Carolina, which is pretty rural, very kind of in the middle of nowhere, we actually have a confirmed case now in our county. So we're kind of scared and we're quarantined, locked down, and making the best of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's dive in to our subject today because there's so much I want to talk to you about. And first, let's just talk about the basics. Like, how did you get into producing your own oils and hydrosols? And then if you don't mind, just dive into what does it look like to make your own? What is that process like? What should beginners understand about making their own oils and hydrosols?
Yes. In fact, it's nothing else than the common distillation. And distillation means you bring water to a boil, and the steam you have to condensate in the condenser then afterwards. And this process is called distillation. And if you put into the water or in the steam space some herbs or peels of oranges or whatever, then the essential oils of the volatile essential oils of these components of this plant material is evaporating too. So you have two components in the steam. The one is the water, of course, the water steam, and the other one is the vaporous essential oil. And then in the condenser, both at the same time condensate and become fluid liquid again. The outcome, you will receive the so-called distillate. And this is, in fact, it's not a mixture, but you get both the essential oil and the aqueous phase, the watery phase, the so-called hydrosol. And we discovered it because we are hosting distilling spirits since the mid-1990s. And in the beginning of the year 2000-2001, with each seminar, we observed a drip of oil above the lemon spirit. And we wondered what could this be, because it is not by accident, because it is with every seminar the same, and only with lemon peels.
Interesting. And when you say spirits, do you mean, are you talking about alcohol when you say spirits?
Yes, like, yes, yes.
Okay, because I was curious about that, the difference between, yeah, distilling. I live in the moonshine county here. We have lots of moonshiners around here. We did back in the abolition. So it's a funny overlap. Love to hear more about, yeah.
Yes, so in fact, we host seminars on how you make your own moonshine.
Fun. Just out of curiosity, is it usually the same equipment that you're using to distill essential oils that you are to distill alcohol?
In fact, we started with the same equipment, but very quickly we recognized that the small still we used, or we still use to making the spirits, the moonshine, is not the optimum. So because my wife and me, Dr. Bettina Malle and me, we developed then, because of our experience and of our study, completely new still with another condenser and another pot and another steam space. So this type of still is optimized just to produce essential oils. But in principle, you're right. You can produce essential oil with any still, doesn't matter if it's just for moonshine or not.
Okay. So I really want to understand and get this picture painted in my head of what's happening in the distiller when you're making essential oils. So I feel like I understand that first part pretty easily because I've seen it. I've seen the big round distilleries with all the plant material put in, and then I can see how the steam gets created from underneath, and the steam rises up through all of that plant material, and then it rises. And then from there, if I heard correctly, it goes into what's called the condenser. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you explain what happens in that condenser again?
So the condenser just cools down the steam until the steam becomes liquid again.
Okay. And when the steam becomes liquid again, it basically contains water and the essential oil in the water? Or is that where it gets separated?
Yes, and this is now the difference to distilling a moonshine to distilling alcohol.
Okay.
When you distill alcohol, you just get one single liquid, one fluid, one phase, it is said. But since essential oils are not mixable with water, you get in the output, in the distillate, two phases. So you get the watery phase, and on top of it, the oil will float.
Uh-huh. And then does it go into a different part of the process next to separate those out?
You can do this, but this doesn't make sense in a small scale, mm-hmm. because otherwise you will lose a lot of oil yield because of the oils are just in the size of, are you familiar with milliliters?
Correct.
Just a few milliliters you will get. And if you're connecting a special device to separate both from each other immediately after the distillation, you get lots of high losses. Yes.
Okay.
And because of these losses, it doesn't make sense to do this in a small scale. So just distillate flows into a bottle.
So then you've got the bottle and the oils are in the neck. And then what comes next?
Yes. First of all, to make the picture complete, so you have the bottle is full with the watery layer, and on top of it, the oil floats. Yes.
Okay.
And then you can separate the oil from the watery layer very easily with a syringe and a hypodermic needle.
Uh-huh.
And this is the most easy way to separate small amounts of liquids, of oils, or whatever.
Okay. So it's a very manual process. You're actually in there with your hands extracting that essential oil off the top of the water.
Yes, yes, because it's in the small scale. There's no other way to have no losses.
Okay. So then what remains, the watery part, is that what is considered the hydrosol?
Yes, exactly. That's
okay.
It. Yes.
Yeah. So for people unfamiliar with hydrosols and how they're, I think now people can understand the difference between the oil that's on the top and then the watery substance that's on the bottom that I imagine contains a lot of, I don't know if essential oil particles is the right word, but there's part of that process that has put some of that plant particle material into the water.
And this is now quite new science, because in former times, also the producers and all the scientists and perfume experts thought the hydrosol is invaluable. You can just use it for, again, for the next distillation, but it is in fact an unwanted byproduct.
Okay.
But in reality, in fact, this is not true. In reality, the hydrosol contains also volatile compounds, because you remember it was steam before, but these components, which you can find in the hydrosol, are soluble in water. So they are the water-friendly components, in contrast to the oily components of the oil itself.
Mm-hmm.
So the hydrosol components are different from the essential oil. So you have another treatment, another ingredients in the hydrosol than in the essential oil. And this knowledge is quite new.
Absolutely. I want to dive into more of the how people are using those hydrosols in a minute, but let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. And I'm back with Helga Schmickel, and we're talking all about distilling, essential oils, and hydrosols. So we kind of left off understanding the difference between the hydrosol and the essential oil and how we get those two different components. And you were talking about how the hydrosols at one point were sort of discarded, not really seen as very valuable, but now there's more and more science coming into showing us, look, that there's some really cool stuff in these hydrosols and we should be using them. So how are the different ways that people are using these hydrosols?
Yes, in fact, the treatments are similar, but you can just say as a rule of thumb, if you use your essential oils with some, you try to dilute it in water, for example, in a bath, or if you want to make a tonic, or if you add it in a diffuser, you always also need water.
Right.
Or for saunaing, or all these treatments, you can, or to make soap, for example, for all these processes, you need water. And instead of the water, you can also use the hydrosol, of course.
Yeah.
And additionally to this, there are also in English, but I know, of course, only the German books. A lot of German books were published in the last few years, how to use hydrosols in the kitchen for cooking, for making bread or something like this.
Right. Oh, that sounds delicious to, you know, use a hydrosol instead of water for making, you know, lavender bread or something. I love that.
And yes, then, exactly.
So give us an idea of the scale. So like if I'm going to take a bath, I might add 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 drops of an essential oil into that bath to really get that aromatic experience. How much of a hydrosol would you pour in to get that sort of similar aroma experience?
Yes. And this is a very interesting question because now it strongly depends if you make your hydrosol by yourself or not.
Right.
Because if you buy the hydrosol or the so-called floral water, then I have the impression the producers have diluted it maybe stronger or more than 1 to 10 or even more, or the producers are not concentrated, not focused on the hydrosol, only in the essential oils. So all hydrosols up until now I have bought, I served, I got, I didn't recognize the smell in them, nothing. But if you make them by yourself, they can be such intense that they really look like milk. They are invisible. You can't look through them because they are like milk.
Interesting.
And sometimes it could be you have to dilute them. But normally, if you take, for example, mint hydrosol or lavender hydrosol, you don't have to dilute it. And to answer your question now, if you have a homemade hydrosol, then one bottle of 200 milliliters, this should be a half of a pint, something like this. Approximately this volume is enough for a bath.
Okay. Well, that's so interesting. And you mentioned the word floral water. So I want to make that distinction. Is that the same exact thing as a hydrosol? Or is there a difference? Okay. Because you'll see that a lot, especially with the more expensive oils like rose or sandalwood. You'll see, floral water. Or sometimes what you'll see, I don't know if this happens in Europe like it does in America, but you might have a producer selling something that's labeled as rose essential oil, but then you look at the fine print a little and it's actually just the rose floral water because it's such an expensive oil. So it's great to make your own. I think having that control sounds like fun and it sounds really amazing. So let's get into a little more detail of people making their own. And you create the tools and the equipment for people specifically who want to do this on a small scale. What's the cost about to get yourself set up to be able to produce your own essential oils at home?
Yes, in fact, you just can use, if you have the right ones, of course, certain kitchen equipment. If you have the right pot, if you have the right cover of it, or a so-called wok. In our book, we describe also how to set up, how to construct a very simple still just out of kitchen equipment without any welding or something else, just with a pot, a sieve, and a wok. And that's it, in fact.
Very cool. That's great. I imagine the equipment makes it a little bit easier and more efficient.
Yes. And if you would buy so-called professional still, the prices start with about $200 and then they get higher, of course, the more equipped it is and the more professional. But a few hundred dollars, you will get a good working still.
Yeah, that's really not bad. Well, this sounds like a lot of fun. And I imagine your books are a really good place for people to start. Your books are available on your website, distilling-essential-oils.com. They're available in English, I imagine, as well.
Yes, of course. And of course, they are also, I hope this is not a commercial, but they're also available via Amazon.
Oh,
because
perfect.
If shipping them to the United States from Europe, the shipping costs are a bit expensive.
Yeah.
So if possible, I would order, if I would be from the States, via Amazon and not here in Europe.
Okay, perfect. Well, we'll be sure to put a link directly to that book in our show notes to make it really easy for people to to find, because I think there's a lot of people now going, ooh, I know what I want for Christmas. So, so that's great. Well, let's end with focusing on, for those that are ready, you know what, I'm excited. I really want to see about making my own essential oils at home. What would be some of the first that you might recommend they start with as far as plants? You know, what plants can be used? Where might they start? And what do they need to know about sourcing those plant materials?
Yes. First of all, of course, the most famous and at the same time, most easy plant material, lavender blossoms.
Okay.
Lavender blossoms, you can take the dried version too, so they mustn't be fresh at all. And the dried lavender blossoms, you can get in internet or in herb merchandises, right, or whatever.
And when you say lavender, we say lavender. So
lavender. Thank you very much. Lavender. Thank you very much.
I like the way blossoms. You say it a little better. It kind of sounds more fun.
Okay. This is because I'm not so used to talk. I used to read and I used to write, but not to talk. So my pronunciation is a little...
And we're pushing you out of your comfort zone today, Helga. I like it.
Thank you. Yes, and the second option would be very easy to get at every supermarket. Just try to buy oranges. For example, 3 kilos, I think this is about 6 pounds of oranges. Squeeze them, drink the juice, and use the peels. It mustn't be the zest, but the peels are sufficient. So, and then put the peels in a food chopper, do you say, or a food cutter?
Yeah, we usually say food processor.
Mm-hmm. Food processor. Thank you very much. And that's it. And then you have the material you can do, you can start with. And if you have not so old oranges, fresh ones, then you will receive up to 8 to 9 milliliters of fresh distilled orange oil.
Wow.
Not to confused with the bought version, because the version you can buy is colored, it's orange in color and thick, and this is the pressed oil. This type of oil has a much lower quality than the distilled version. And the distilled version you can't buy. You have to make it by yourself.
Wait, explain that again. I think I lost you there. So the versions that you typically will buy from a producer is the pressed version?
Yes.
Okay.
Only essential oils you can get via cold pressing are lemon or orange peel oils.
Okay.
And these oils you can get if you go to a store. And this is the reason, because they are pressed, why they are colored and not colorless.
Uh-huh.
But you can also, you don't have to press the peels, you also can distill them. And this is then the distilled version. And this is what you can do by yourself.
Interesting. Very cool. Very good to know. I imagine there's probably chemically and medicinally a little bit of difference between the pressed and the distilled.
Yes,
steamed.
You can smell it. Of course, the smell is different, and also the contents. For example, the pressed version of orange or lemon peel oil is, how do you say it, phototoxic. This means if you put it on your skin and you go into the sun, you will get a red skin.
Right.
And this negative effect you don't have with the distilled version, because this type of poison doesn't evaporate during the distillation.
Yes, very interesting. Well, thank you so much, Helga. This has been fascinating, and I'm really excited. I know a lot of our listeners are going to be starting to cook up some stuff in their kitchens now, I'm sure. So thank you for your time here. Before you go, I'd love to ask you the closing questions we ask all our guests here on the show. And the first is, just give us a glimpse into one or two self-care practices you try to do each day to stay healthy.
I start my diffuser every time when I go to my workshop, and there I have to package my postal parcels of the day. I start my diffuser, and there, now at times with the coronavirus, of course, it's mint or lemon or something like this. And otherwise, when I want to relax a bit, I add lavender. And the second is We also make all, of course, in a very small scale, very simple perfumes. And if you use your homemade essential oils for perfume, for your personal perfume, they have an effect to you because all the healthy components of the essential oils you have in the perfume too. So it depends on the mood and it depends on the time of day or if it's weekend or not, which type of perfume we use to be a little bit more awake or to be more relaxed or whatever.
All right. And finally, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
Sorry to say this, but as I observe this here also with all the younger people and the other ones, take a break from social media electronically, just relax and free your mind and get free from all this electronic stuff for a few hours, at least at the weekend, and go for a walk and don't be interrupted by smartphones or whatever.
Right. That's such great advice. And I'll say if you're not ready to leave your phone at home, at least put it on silent mode for a good couple. I leave mine on silent mode all the time. So people get mad because I don't respond quickly to their texts. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go to my phone when I want to go to my phone, not the other way around. So,
Exactly. It's a very good and very, very good intention.
I love that. Well, this is wonderful, Helga. And I know we've already mentioned your website, distilling-essential-oils.com. People can find your books there. As you said, they're also available on Amazon, and we'll put a link to that in our show notes. But for anyone else who's curious about your work, is there anywhere else you want to send them to or explain the best way to get in touch with you?
No, this is already the best way, just to visit our homepage. And then in the footer of the homepage, you will find all our contact data, like phone number, email address, or whatever.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Helga. This has been absolutely wonderful. And I thank you for sharing your wisdom with us here on the Essential Oil Revolution.
Thank you very much. And as already said, I feel honored to be invited from you.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you'll stay in touch. Go ahead and join our newsletter if you're not on it already. You can join that at revolutionoilspodcast.com. The newsletter is the fastest way to stay in the loop about all things going on here at the Essential Oil Revolution. Next week, join us with special guest Kat Mulvaney as we deep dive really far into emotional care and essential oils, something I think all of us can benefit from right now. Make sure you're subscribed and we'll catch you next week. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.